This is Spirit Network Radio, a BBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. Today, we're going to be talking about Hue. Don't know what the sound of all sounds is? Then you need to stay tuned to hear from my special guest today, who I'll tell you a little bit more about. But first, let me mention our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you in part by Reverend Renee Panzini. Located in the heart of Lancaster County, PA, Renee offers her signature Get Happy workshops and classes to help you focus on your intentions and manifest your goals and dreams. To read more about getting your happy on, please visit www.reneepanzini.com. I'm going to spell that for you. That's REENIEPANZINI.com or call 717-575-8850. That's 775-8850. And come on and get happy. Now, Spirit Network Radio is also made possible by the support of our own 2014 Spirit Network Festival.
It's almost time for the Spirit Network Festival again. Join us at the Harrisburg Clarion Hotel and Conference Center on Sunday, April 27th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Visit the Psychic Fair, meet with wellness practitioners, and browse through the vendors area for natural health and organic products, crystals, herbs, sacred jewelry, and all things metaphysical and holistic. Also, be sure to take in the mini lectures included with your $5 admission. Festival speakers this year include Francine Milano, Renee Panzini, Emily Givler, and Lynn Van Prague Grattan. Visit spiritnetwork.com for details and be good to your mind, body, and your spirit.
Now, if you would like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, we have advertising options as low as $50. Our shows are not just live, but they're archived on the BBS website, and the podcast is available on iTunes, so your message plays on to reach many people long after the broadcast. Simply email radio@spiritnetwork.com to find out more. Now, I have two guests today who have come to speak to you about Hue. Who, you ask? No, Hue, H-U. Both of my guests are Ekinkar clergy, and they are going to share some information about Ekinkar and the practice of Hue and how that can change your life. We welcome your calls to the studio at 888-627-6008. That's toll free, 888-627-6008, or email us at radio@spiritnetwork.com. So without further ado, Darlene Kirshner and Richard Wildeson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Francine.
Hi, how are you? Great to have you on. I really love learning about new paths. I'm a spiritualist, also clergy, but I just love just exploring everyone, because I mean, I'm all kind of like about the melting pot, you understand. So I'm excited because I don't really know too much about this. But let's first talk about your backgrounds, if we can. Richard, let's start with you. Tell us about yourself and how you came to Ekinkar. You know, just where you've been and where you are now.
Well, I'm a regular guy. I'm a former engineer and research scientist. I have a family with two grown girls and five grandchildren. And like you said, a member of the Ekinkar clergy. You know, when I was a young person, I really didn't have much interest in spirituality. I was a member of one of the Christian churches, and I really tried to make that work for me, but it seemed like, you know, of course, I blame myself for it not working very well for me. I thought it was my fault. instead of accepting that, you know, there might be a different path for me. But when I got to college age, I started having some spiritual experiences I wasn't trying to have. They just came, you know, unbidden. And one just occurred while I was listening to music. One happened while I was just reading a book. And I went to a branch campus of Penn State, way out in the woods. And it's in the mountains, and there's no town, really. It was just the college and forest. And one day, me and a friend of mine went for a walk in the woods, and it had snowed the day before. You know, the heavy kind of snow that's in all the tree branches. And
Richard. It's enough today, right?
Kind of like right now.
Yeah.
And it's soundless when you're walking through the woods. The only sound I heard was us talking to each other and the birds singing in the trees. And, you know, we went for quite a while. It must have been a few hours. And I noticed that I was starting to feel, it's hard to describe, sort of joy, I guess, sort of joyful, and like there was some love bubbling up in me coming from somewhere. And yeah, I didn't know how to share this with my male friend without, you know, I was a teenager and we're not too good at sharing that kind of stuff. So I don't know what he felt. So we're walking, and I'm hearing these birds singing in the trees. And after an hour or so, I started to think, you know, it's funny that these birds are everywhere that we are. Wouldn't you think you'd hear them more someplace and they'd fly away somewhere else? And I just thought to look up on the bare tree branches, and there weren't any birds. It was a sound that was coming from inside of me, and I don't even know if my friend heard it too, but it was a sound that sounded like birds singing. And whatever that sound was, it made me feel this joyful way that I felt. And I didn't know what to do with that. I just felt sort of giddy, and we finished our walk, and I didn't know what to do. And it was part of, with these other experiences, it was part of a wake-up call for me. That you've gone through life, and you're doing the education thing, and you're following the path that everybody follows, but it's time for you to look at life in a different way. It's time for you to wake up and see that there's something spiritual going on here. And I had no idea where to look, but things just transpired. So within the next year, I heard about Ekankar, and I heard that it was called the religion of the light and sound of God, and discovered that the sound that sounds like bird singing is one of the sounds of God from at a particular level of vibration, that I was hearing something from an inner spiritual plane, and that's why I felt uplifted when I heard it.
That's wonderful. And that's actually kind of early for a lot of people. I mean, you were still a teenager technically, correct?
Yeah.
So you had a pretty early calling. For me, I would say I had a different calling, but I really wouldn't see that till I was about 24 or 25. So, and Darlene, was it very similar for you?
It was somewhat similar. You know, I'm a mother. I have a couple of children and a wonderful husband and a cat that we adore. And a little background, I'm a career counselor in adult education. But I had a kind of a similar situation that Richard had. I was about 13, I think, and I grew up in western Pennsylvania, there in the hills, in the open country. And my friend lived in the development over the hill, and I loved being outdoors, and I loved running. And one day I took off through the woods, down the path, and running just made me, I just remember feeling very free and uplifted. And when I got to my friend's place, I started to hear this sound, and I stopped, and I was meeting a couple friends, so they were engrossed in a conversation, so they weren't paying much attention to me at the moment, and I said, "Do you hear that?" And they didn't respond, and then I recognized that I was the only one hearing the sound, and it was a very long, drawn-out musical sound, something like the sound of something in the woodwinds, like a flute or something like that. And I just felt a lot of joy. And I think that was my spiritual wake-up call. Because I had been a spiritual seeker then, ever since. I was looking for something more also. You know, I believed that there had to be more than one life.
And, right. Now, is that common among your group? I mean, is that the sound? I mean, we're going to be talking about the sound, you know, obviously. But is that the spiritual awakening that happens for a lot of people in Ekankar?
It's one of lots of different ways. There are so many kinds of spiritual experiences that you can have that give you that kind of wake-up call. Maybe we'll talk about some of it. But the sound
but you,
is just one
you
of
both,
them.
You both happen to be about the sound, so I think that's very interesting. So can you tell us, and whoever wants to speak, obviously, tell us a little bit more about Ekankar itself, the history, the belief system it's based on.
Ekankar, actually the name means co-worker with God. And Ekankar teaches you to experience, it's a very experiential path. You learn truth through your experiences and with contact with the light and the sound. And the light and sound is how God speaks to us inwardly. And it's considered, you can think of it as the Holy Spirit or divine love, but it manifests in those two ways, in addition to just that uplifted love that you can feel.
And all the other ways that people talk about, whether it's intuition or visions or remembering of past life, or, you know, there's an infinite number of ways that you can contact the light and sound, even if they don't seem, you know, like feelings of great love.
Right. Well, how long has Ekankar been around?
Well, Ekankar has existed since before recorded history. But it came public in 1965 when it was brought out to the world. Ekankar was a teaching that was more of an inner teaching. There are Ek masters that can work with you in an inner sense and teach you and help you find your way home to God. So that's one of the primary principles of Ekankar, are these Ek masters, and there's always been a living Ek master.
And as clergy, are you automatically masters?
No.
Okay, so there's different levels, like kind of like the priest and the cardinal and the Vatican, right?
Yeah, right.
We're working on it. Maybe we'll get there in this lifetime, but I kind of doubt it for me.
Oh, why not?
It's possible.
That's a lot of schooling. Is it, you know, a lot of meditation?
Yes, and it's a lot of life experience. I mean, like Darlene was saying, it's a path of experience. Of course, we have books and teachings and all that stuff too, but it's the experiences that are the proof
well, that's,
of it.
We're here to I believe we're here to experience. That's for sure.
Right.
So is it proper to call it a religion?
Yes.
Okay. And are there church services? I mean, do you call them churches, the meeting places?
We have an Ekankar Center. There's one in Lancaster. Most large cities around the world have one, and we had a worship service this morning.
Oh, okay. It's Sunday. So you do that on Sunday like everybody else, huh?
Well, that's why, because people are used to that. So we made them on Sundays. It could be any day.
But it's not necessarily because it's a religious or Sabbath or something like that.
No.
It's just a convenience because everybody's off and that's what they expect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, tell us about Hugh. Now I understand where it's coming from as far as the light and the sound. I did a little bit of reading, and I actually will admit that I did a little meditation with the Hugh energy and in a couple of audio recordings. But I'm still not exactly sure what I was listening to. So, please tell us all about Hugh.
Well, hue is, of course, it's a word, but it's also a sound. And it's also an ancient name for God, which you might have seen in your reading.
I did.
People have been chanting hue around the world for a long time, in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, in different places. Pretty much in the Western world, it had fallen out of favor. It doesn't belong to Ekinkar by any means, so anyone can use it, no matter what your religion is. It won't, you know, turn you from an Ekka to a Presbyterian or a Buddhist to a Jew or anything.
You won't turn to stone?
No, but no matter what religion or no religion, hue will enhance the experiences that you're having. You know, for people expect things that are real simple to not be particularly effective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And hue is very simple. And if you use it, if you could set aside 5 or 10 minutes a day to sing hue, it would transform your life spiritually. You'd see little changes taking place every day. And, you know, it works for a lot of different things. I have a big dog laying here on the floor, and I told him not to bark, so I hope he doesn't. But
okay.
Just the other day, I took him out for a run, and it was time to get back in the car at the park and bring him back home, and he just wouldn't. He took off, and it was getting dark, and it was getting cold, and I was getting upset. I would call him, and it became a big game for him, and he just ran away, and the closer I'd get to him, the further he'd run away, and I was losing my cool, so to speak, and it was mm-hmm. getting cold. I had to go back to the car and turn the engine on to try and warm my feet up and then go out and try and catch him again, and I was just losing my cool. So I just thought, well, maybe to get myself in balance, I should just sing hue here for a minute. So I got back in the car and I chanted hue for a second, and it helped bring me back to a place that I could stand myself and a little more balance, a little more perspective. This isn't a life-threatening situation. It's just the dog is misbehaving. So it got me a little bit back into where I needed to be, and I said, okay, I'll go look for him one more time. And I heard this raucous barking, and apparently he had treed a cat, and he was so intent with that cat that I was able to grab him and bring him back home. But the thing about hue is, if you're using it like a prayer, it's not like you telling God what you think God should do for you. It sort of helped me to be in a place where I can understand what to do. I'm not telling you what's best for me. I'm just opening myself to thy will be done.
So you're chanting hue did not actually get the dog. That was just for you to be patient. Is that right? It had nothing to do with that.
It's always for me. I don't want to do a prayer to change somebody else's mind or to make my boss behave better or something like that. I would sing hue in order for me to be able to manage having a nasty boss, be able to do that and not try and change myself.
Sure. Can you, and that does bring me to a question. Can you pray for others through hue? I mean, can you pray that your boss can see what he's doing or, you know, make them aware?
No.
You can't.
No. You know, the you is to help you lift you up to your higher self, because we are soul. We are a soul that has a physical body, an emotional body, a mental body, but we are soul, and we have the capacity to handle so many things, but we're learning, you know, how to do that. And you know, this earth is a training, a school for us, so that we can become better and more spiritual, a higher spirituality.
So from a higher perspective, the nasty boss was put there in order to teach us a lesson. Not for us to change him, but to learn how to handle somebody like that. And once we've learned the lesson, the nasty boss will get a promotion, will be transferred or something, because we don't need him as a teacher for us anymore.
That certainly makes sense to me. I taught a workshop today on positivity, the power of positive, and that sounded like almost to the point as far as an example I used, because, you know, there's, you can't avoid negativity. You can only decide how you're going to react to certain things. And so you're saying Hugh is a great way to calm yourself and center.
Right. Mm-hmm. And to get a higher perspective on things, to see behind what's going on. I guess that's what raising your state of consciousness is, to be able to see a bigger picture of what's happening in your life.
So, well, chants and hymns are ancient traditions like in almost every religion. What makes Hugh different rather than like ohms or other thing, you know, other chants that you hear?
I think of this as a gift from God that just has this energy and this power to uplift us.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are lots of words that you can chant that are uplifting. I've found that Hugh is more universal, that many of those other words have a specific rate of vibration that's tied into a certain level where Hugh can find you wherever you are and is always at a place that no matter how high you go, there's room to be lifted up higher.
Oh, so that has a lot to do with why that it was an ancient word for God, and mm-hmm. that makes the vibration different, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what ohm means or anything, but I mean, it just sounds positive to me.
Yeah. If we wanted to connect to a past life, for instance, we might chant another word. We might chant the word mana, because that vibration of that word is tied into with the region where our past lives are stored.
Oh, I see. So that's kind of like the Akashic Records word?
Yeah.
I see. So is there a lot of chanting that goes on in the services? I mean, do you chant every service?
We always start out a service with you because we want to get that upliftment at the beginning of the service so that we have a higher viewpoint. It just lightens things up, and it brings a lot of love into the service. I feel personally that I'm more connected to that divine source when I sing to you.
It would make sense to start off that way then.
Yeah.
You know, so it does. It brings people together as well, I imagine.
Yeah. The state of consciousness of the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you how this word was discovered, but was this in a different language at one point? Is that a Sanskrit word?
I think it's beyond language, really.
Well, the meaning is beyond language for sure. But who decided, oh, it's going to be H-U, you know, or decided mm-hmm. that was the word for God at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was the founder of Ekengar?
No, that's above our pay grade, but I think, like I said, it's not just a word, but it's also a sound. So I think it's just the Ek masters know that sound comes from the heart of God, and they are sharing it with those of us who aren't at a high enough spiritual level to know that.
Are there a lot of Ek masters?
There are quite a few, yes.
Every center has one? It's like the spiritual advisor?
No. The spiritual leader of Ekengar is the living Ek master, and there always is a living Ek master from, you know, before recorded history. But there are other Ek masters that work with individuals who want to find their way home to God. And they're there willing and waiting to help They also practice the law of non-interference. So they will not invade anybody's space, but if you ask for guidance, many people, before they have come to Ekinkar, had experiences with Ekmasters in, when they were children or sometime in their lifetime before they came to Ekinkar. There's a number of Ekmasters, and if you go to Ekinkar.org, there's a page where you can see their pictures. Some of our listeners might recognize one of the faces there.
So there's the living Ekmaster who currently is Harold Klemp. There's only one of him in the world at a time, and when he passes on, it'll be passed to someone else to take over his position. But he has the ability to work with all the students of Ekinkar and really anybody else who wants to work with him inwardly as well as out here. You can hear him give talks or go to a conference and see him or read one of the books that he's written or something like that. But the real advantage to having him is as the inner master who can be with all of us in the dream state or in our contemplation or as part of our intuition throughout our day. He's with us all the time.
Ah, so is there any like astral projection here, or is this just a psychic connection?
He has the ability to work with individual inwardly. I think of it as soul to soul.
Mm-hmm.
And to teach soul travel.
And okay.
The primary reason for soul travel is to be able to explore your inner world. And and as soul, you can get that connection with the light and sound in a much more pure way. So,
where is he physically located?
Minnesota.
Chanhassen. There is a beautiful temple there in Chanhassen, Minnesota.
To work with him, would you go there first and make that connection on a physical level?
No.
That's not necessary. If you wanted to work with him, you would just ask and he knows. I know it sounds creepy, but there are so many paths and we've heard bad things about spiritual leaders leading people down the wrong path. So we don't expect anybody to just, accept anything we say.
Well,
or accept.
I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I'm trying to represent people that, think that's creepy. Yeah. That's just the way it is. But I'm so open. I just believe that you have to have an open mind. Everybody's going to make their own opinion. But you know what? You're here to present it. And that I really appreciate. Who am I to say? I mean, I'm a psychic medium. I bring in loved ones from the other side for people that are grieving and that kind of thing. And I make a lot of connections. So I'm certainly not one to judge that. I'm just wondering what the protocol is. If does he like, would he then kind of know you by name? Like, oh yeah, I'll give you a call. Yeah, I saw you last night, How does that work? I mean, does he end up developing a relationship with you when you haven't actually met?
I've never met him in person, but I feel close to him.
And would would he know who you are?
He would definitely know who I am. Whether he'd know my name or not, I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. But to take the creepiness out of it, the reason he's an Ekmaster is because he's one with the Holy Spirit. He's purified himself. I mean, he was a regular guy too, and he purified his consciousness enough that he and the Holy Spirit are like one and the same. So.
Wow.
It makes it easier for people to look at the inner master as a person because, we're humans and that's more comfortable for us. But we can just look at the Holy Spirit.
Right. But he happens to be gifted.
Yeah.
Right. And, I look at it this way, and he is a God-realized soul, and that's
our potential for all of us is this spiritual mastership and God realization. And if you want that, then who better to lead the way and teach you is one that's already there.
Like any spiritual teacher, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
In another path, you want to follow somebody who's done what you want to do.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to have ones that went before us to look up to and emulate. If something happens or when something inevitably happens to his physical body, then who and how is a new one taken over as the Ekmaster, the living Ekmaster?
God decides who the next living Ekmaster is. There's a number of people in training for the mastership, but then there is one chosen.
Is there like a lot of testing that's done, sort of like a Dalai Lama?
You know, Sri Harold Klump has written his own autobiographies about his road to mastership. It's really an awesome book.
Oh, okay. And you can order that on the Ekinkar website?
Yep.
Okay, and what is that website again for our listeners?
Ekinkar.org.
Ekinkar.
Wonderful. So, now let me ask you this. Now, in light and sound connection, in this connection together, do people usually do a visualization as well as the hue?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, where does the light come from?
Light comes from, it's one of the twin aspects of the Holy Spirit. Everybody is sort of different how they experience, you know, the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. some see the light inwardly, some hear the sound inwardly, some just have this uplifted feeling of love. And there's so many different ways, you know, it's like everybody's cut differently.
In order to have an experience with the light, you might do a spiritual exercise where you chant you for a few minutes. And then use your imagination to visualize a door. And you imagine that on the other side of that door is a light. And you imagine yourself opening the door and stepping into the light. And you start out using your imagination, but what soul travel is it becomes more than just your imagination. You step into the experience. And then your experience takes you from there.
So, you know what I mean? And so this is actually more of a visualization and the light. Is there anything in particular about the light that people are seeking, certain colors or, you know, I mean, is God a color in that light and sound connection or is it just white light?
Well, there are certainly all many different colors that people can see. Could strive to see the blue light, the blue star. It's a thick pointed star.
Oh.
A state of consciousness will have a certain vibration, and the color might come with that vibration. As you get into the higher levels, like you were saying, it might go from a bright yellow, and then the higher you go, it's more and more white. But, you know,
oh, okay.
Like an emotional vibration would maybe be pink, or a mental one might be blue, subconscious might be purple, depending on the kind of experience you're having to determine the color.
So is that somewhere where you would go for a meditation for guidance and you would receive colors, like for answers?
Yeah, and you can use, I'm sure you know this, but you can use color for healing, for instance, too, by visualizing a particular color. To whether you're healing your body or healing your emotions or healing your mind, you might use a different color in your imagination to do that.
Sure, absolutely. But I'm thinking that in this light and sound connection, that you're actually not, you're using your imagination, yes, but you're waiting for something to come to you rather than you projecting the color. Does that make sense? Like you're waiting for God to give you the color when you do this chant, right?
You could do it either way and see what happens. I prefer to not tell God what I need because God knows better anyway.
So like, oh yeah, saying, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you were talking about getting guidance. So, you know, oftentimes guidance just comes with a nudge or just this aha moment where you just feel like you know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Does it necessarily come with seeing a light? Although some people might feel like if they see a light, that means, you know, be alert for an answer or something. You know, everybody sort of has their way of, you know, when you're practicing these spiritual exercises and working with you, you kind of develop a way that's going to work for you. And I used to get the sound, you know, in one ear whenever I had a question or something, and that sound would come through and it would alert me to be alert for an answer, or it would let me know that I'm on the right track or something like that.
Well, let me ask
that,
you this. If you're in search of a healing, okay, then you go into the hue and you're like visualizing certain colors for your healing. Aren't you still, you're telling God what you need?
Yes, that's why it's very important for you to say, I mean, you can still go ahead and do that, but say, unless, as long as that is in thy will, as long as it's God's will to do that. You know, I'm putting a caveat to it that, you know, this is something that I think I want, but if you have a better idea, I'll go with what you think is, you know, otherwise we'd go around and heal, everybody would be healed, and what would you learn? Maybe.
Well, that sounds, very similar to, like, the law of attraction, that I always put this little disclaimer on there that, like, for the best and highest good for all concerned, because if it's not really what I should be getting, or if it, you know, then I'm just not going to get it. So it's not me to decide whether, you know, I might want something. It doesn't mean it's good for me. Mm-hmm. You know,
or you can say this or something better.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, so, and when you are like visualizing for healing or something, I mean, when you ask God for healing, you don't have any, like, Christian Science. You go to doctors, right?
Yes.
Okay, just check.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah, that's because just checking. Doctors, you know, it's like, I'm sick. God, heal me if you want to, you know.
Yeah, doctors can be healers, too. They could be carrying the light and sound with them.
That's true. Now, so let me ask you a question again about the technique during a service. When the hue is done, does everyone participate in the actual chant, or do they just simply listen to the sound?
They participate if they want to, unless they're uncomfortable doing that. If you're,
it's not a CD, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's part of the service. It's sort of the prayer part of the service.
Right. And you had mentioned that other words come into play for other vibrations. So that if you were trying to go into the Akashic records, and do you have visionaries that actually retrieve information for you?
Well, what we're learning to do is to have these experiences for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the path of Ekinkars, is we're learning mastership.
Yeah, master of
And I've had some experiences, some past life experiences, and they were because I had a particular thing going on in my life that I wanted to have a better understanding of why these things were happening. And so I got a glimpse into a past life, and, you know, it just helped me to understand, you know, the purpose of that and what I had to learn.
And did you actually just chant a different word to regress or to learn from?
No, I just asked the inner master. I said, help me to understand this, you know. And I, in a dream state, I went there. And I saw a past life. And it was very helpful for me to understand why I was going through, why I had this why I felt the way that I felt. Because, you know, spiritual growth is to understand yourself and to eventually, you know, there's a lot of things that hold us back spiritually, you know, guilt, fear, worries, you know, habits of the mind. And this spiritual path, this journey that we're on is to, you know, get above these things so that we can operate as souls.
One of the things we do is to chant you, so we keep in contact with that inner guidance that's always there, and it's there for everybody, not just Ekis, as you well know. And, you know, it might be interesting also for the listeners, there's a really great book called Inner Guidance, Our Divine Birthright by Ann Archer Butcher, and it's written from the point of view of somebody who didn't know anything about Ekinkar but really wanted to learn about truth, and the step-by-step things that she did throughout her life to give her this inner connection to divine spirit and the adventures that it brought through to her, which included that came from intuition, it came from dreams, it came from inner voices, it came from visions, it came from other people. She got guidance on how to direct her life for a greater spiritual understanding in a million different ways. And the book is written in such a way that it's very exciting. You finish a chapter and you can't wait to start the next one because you want to find out what happened to Anne next.
Well, that sounds exciting. I mean, it really, the things you touch on are just so familiar to me. I just use them in a different way. And I think it's the same thing with the listeners. I mean, we want to listen to our own intuition. You know, make better choices in life based on history, learn from the past, you know, whether it's in this lifetime or previous lifetimes, you know, and a lot of people are very fascinated with past lives and, you know, and what we bring in here, the pain as well as the goodness. When you look at karma, do you actually untangle like a karmic situation that you have with someone? If there's a difficult situation with another Ekist, for instance, would you kind of do that together at all to see, like, maybe we were together in another life? I mean, is that common or unheard of?
That's very common. I mean,
just
about every relationship we have is based on karma from sometime, whether it's in our family or within our church or within our jobs or everywhere. We've been with those people before, and mm-hmm. we've interacted with them in a positive or a negative way, and we will definitely have something to work off from them. And sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's a big drama experience. But part of being in contact with the Holy Spirit, or with the inner master, as we like to put it, is that he helps unravel those things for us. And doing things like chanting Q on a regular basis helps to unwind those chains of karma that are holding us back, that are keeping us from being able to move upward spiritually. And when I say that Q can transform your life, I'm not kidding, because I've seen it with so many people, not just myself. But doing spiritual exercises and getting in contact with this Holy Spirit we're talking about, using cue or the light and sound or other techniques, will transform all the aspects of your life, relationships included, whether you see the past life that caused it or whether you don't need to. It's up to you. Often, if you're having difficulty with somebody and you can't talk to them about it, or there's so much anger that they won't speak to you, it's not an interference in their personal space to have a conversation with them inwardly. Like, just sit there as if they were there and to talk with them inwardly and try and work something out. And the same thing can happen with the visualizing the light, where it might go to a further step. You might actually hear them talking back to you. And there's no reason you can't work things out at a higher level than the physical one.
So is that kind of like soul travel? I mean, they're talking back to you from the past life or the current life?
from the present.
Okay. So do you do a lot of dream work? Where I had a friend that we used to do a lot of dream work. We would just meet up at a certain address in the middle of the night. Is that something that's not common?
Well, yeah, you could do that. You could certainly do that too with some people. I meet other friends sometimes like that. I usually don't try to, but it just happens because it's right at the time.
I think that the more you ascend, whether it's from Hugh or, you know, someone else's path, when you ascend to a certain level, I think these just happen instantaneously, you know, just because you've been able to let go of a lot of chains. And so it's not just Ekinkar, but it's just spirituality allows you to let go of a lot of the pains from the past. And it does free you, and things do become very spontaneous, you know? Would you actually say that you get a lot of spontaneous, like, psychic moments or just messages?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
it's natural. I can't tell you. There have been a number of times where I picked up the phone to call somebody, and I would dial their number, and it wouldn't ring. And I'd say hello, and the person I was calling was already on the phone getting ready to talk to me.
Oh, you. Exactly. So
because you have a connection.
It is. There's a psychic connection there, for sure. How about spirits on the other side? And I don't know what the belief system is, actually. When we ascend and we let go of the body, are we still able to... for me, I communicate, but is that a belief system?
Oh, of course.
You mean when you die?
Yeah. When you let go of the human body, is there an afterlife that, you know, people like myself can communicate with?
I do believe that. I think as soul, we're multidimensional. We're really existing on all these planes. So when we leave the body, you know, physical body, we can do that in soul travel. But at translation, when this body dies, you know, that we still exist in the higher world. And but you know, I remember a very vivid dream of connecting with an old friend that had passed on. And speaking with that person, and I know a lot of people who take time to try to reconnect with loved ones, and you know, it depends, you know, their experience depends on them, but some are successful at doing that.
Yeah, I have a close friend whose husband just died, and they were both Ekis, and she talks to him all the time, and I mean, they have a conversation. I know several people like that. So when you die, I think, Francine, you know this already, but it's just like taking another step into another universe. You're just moving on, and many of those same people are going to be there, and you'll be interacting with people like you do here.
So the belief system is there, but it's not like you do psychic fairs as fundraisers for the center, right?
No, but we have booths at fairs and things sometimes too. but we don't connect with people who passed on or anything like you do. But you know, that's a tremendous service for people who really don't know for sure whether there's something beyond the physical universe, for you to say, you know what, I've connected with this person and they're fine. I think that really means a lot to people. And one of the great things about spiritual unfoldment is people can do like what you do. You can know for absolute certain that you keep going after your body has died. And that's a tremendous benefit to people, to be able to relax and realize that, you know what, this isn't all I've got.
It's the best form of validation there is. It really is, just to know that loved ones go on and they're going to be waiting for us, or you know, or maybe not running away. My mother always said, "Don't be looking for me because I got things to do, places to go." Now I'm going to ask you a question. I have one item in the mailbag from David in Chicago, And this may not, now that I'm looking at it, may not be relevant. We kind of touched on it, but I'm going to give this to you. I'm a hospice volunteer. If I chant the hue, will it help my clients to ascend? Or will they need to do that for themselves?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I was in a similar situation with someone, a loved one that was passing on, and I sang the hue just in order to be a vehicle for love at that moment. That's how I see that.
The safe answer is that it'll help you to help them in whatever way they need it.
That makes sense. So, David, do your hue.
It's very worth doing hue, and I know people who have done that when others passed on, and it helps you to know the right things to say for the other family members. It helps you know what you might say or not even have to say to that person. It might help you be in a position to be able to communicate with that dying person even without words.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much. If people have additional questions about Eckankar or Hue, can they get in touch with you, or should they check out the website? You know, give me some information.
Well, you know, if they're local to the Lancaster area, York, Harrisburg, they can contact, they could go to eckankarofpa.org, and then they can get information how to contact the Eck Center.
And if you go to eckankar.org, the main website, there's a place, there's a link that says Eckankar around the world that'll show all the states in the union plus countries around the world that you can click on and find local contacts there.
Wonderful.
And you can call,
wonderful.
And you can call the international office. You can dial 1-800-LOVE-GOD if you'd rather talk to somebody. And there's something called the Spiritual Experiences Guidebook, which is a little booklet that you can get that gives you techniques for contacting past lives, to better understand your dreams, for soul travel, and about you, and all that stuff that you can get for free by calling 1-800-LOVE-GOD or by going to the website and just giving your address, and they'll send you that.
Great. Darlene and Richard, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate all the information, and I'm definitely wanting to learn more myself, actually. All right, well, thank you again, and I will talk to you soon. You take care of yourselves.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, bless you. Bye-bye. Now, if you would like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, I just want to remind you, we have many advertising options. Just send us an email at radio@spiritnetwork.com. And I want to thank you all for being here today, friends. Much love. Bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at FrancineMilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.